Namagaratamina Nasya Dhanadana Salakaya Chaksur Samaditan Jena Tasmai Sri Ravinama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Uttale Sayam Rupakalamayam Dutati Sapanantikam Vanshakopatu Vascha Kripasindu Vai Vascha Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Nama.
W-A-T-E-R.
I was thinking of the water.
Oh. I prefer the water at this point. Thanks. Thank you. The Krishna conscious philosophy is very radical by today's standards of life. And perhaps there are many radical things. Practically everything is radical. But there is one negative thing which is most radical, and there is one positive thing which is also most radical. And if one goes out and searches spiritual life in contemporary society, these two things you'll not hear anyone say, practically speaking. You'll hear people saying it is bad to eat meat, vegetarian societies, this one, that one. But you won't hear anyone saying no sex. I just read this recently in TKG's diary. Prabhupada was saying this in the last few months. He said, where is anyone saying this? Does anyone have that? Is that book around somewhere? You have it in your bag?
No,
next time. I'll bring it. But Prabhupada was saying it so strongly that no one else will speak like this. Practically speaking, the contemporary society is saying exactly the opposite. And here Prabhupada, as we heard last night, sarcastic like anything, calling even disciples that wish to break this principle monkey disciples. This is proof that such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. It was sarcastic. In this verse, it is therefore clearly stated, Yata Vanara Jati, the family of monkeys. And the next several verses also condemning his sex life. So that's so radical in this world. Even householders, Prabhupada would say, we don't say no sex, but sex just for having children, which basically means no sex. So radical, even married people. Why? Why was Prabhupada so radical about this? It wasn't just Prabhupada. It's the falsity of the age that has geared everyone so strongly in this direction and agitated everyone in this direction. But previously the culture did not allow this kind of thing. It wasn't disturbed in this way. And and on the other hand, if one engages in sex life, then what does that do it binds one tightly to the material, physical, bodily concept of life. And it's like a blazing fire, as the Bhagavad Gita says. So very strongly condemned. So that's one very radical thing of the preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement. And the other one, that's the negative one. And what's the positive one?
Can you eat as much as you want?
You can eat as much as you want. Not when you're older. No, it's something even more positive. What is it? What is the very positive thing that the Krishna conscious movement is saying that no one else is saying? I don't know any religion, any movement, any spiritual path, any tarot reader or astral projection pilot. What is the very radical, unique thing? Huh? What? No, that's negative also. No. But that's even the old, so many vegetarians, vegans say that. But what's the real positive thing that we're saying that nobody else is? There's lots of people who chant mantras. But who says that God is a person? That he has a form, he has a pastime, he has a girlfriend. She's married to somebody else. But you're not allowed to have sex. And he has the most wonderful mother, and he herds cows wearing no shoes. That the Perth people would like. Yes. He's a person. Peacock feather on his head. This is so radical. He's a person. He's a person. Because everyone can agree, long as you don't start being specific about anything. Oh yes, it's very nice to all love. God is wonderful. But if you start defining what God is, who God is, then everyone will disagree. God is a person. His skin is the color of a fresh monsoon cloud. Sham. So as soon as you say his color, why is he darkish color? Why isn't he another color? Why doesn't he like to herd goats? Someone will say. Why cows? Why does he play a flute? Why doesn't he play the bassoon? Or an oboe? Or a guitar? Yes. We're saying very specifically who God is, what God is. No one else will say this. Because no one else has any idea. Now we have an idea by the mercy of Prabhupada, his Gumraj, the Siddhic succession, so many glorious Vaishnavas. We have an idea, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially. Lord Krishna kindly advented himself to give us an idea. But now, how are we going to convince others? Such a radical thing. How are we going to convince others? Well, they'll say, this is your concept. Or they'll say, oh, this is just a preliminary concept, that you have to focus your mind on something and then you understand later. The real understanding that God has no form. That's typically what the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, and everyone is an impersonalist, basically. That's what they say. So what do we need to preach to others And what is also simultaneously the best thing for ourselves is to deeply become advanced in understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what's really needed. Because someone will say, God is like this, another person will say, God is like that, and another person will say, no, God is like this. But who is right? And everyone has their reasons. Everyone will have their reasons and their proofs. So our proof, of course, is Shastra. But who in this world accepts the proof of Shastra, practically speaking? So what in the early days of the movement, what was the main proof?
Everyone was happy. Prabhupada?
Yes. B. Listen, no one is really happy. I guess some people are happy. Happy people are happy, unhappy people are unhappy. But it was really Prabhupada. That was really the proof. Of course, there was the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada was pointing to them. But we didn't have faith in these things, full faith. But everyone had full faith in Prabhupada because he was so wonderful, so sweet, not only happy, but so very sweet and powerful and wise. And caring. That was actually what started the Krishna Consciousness Movement. That's what convinced people. And one thing that inspired me, I used to see Prabhupada was wearing neck beads. What does that mean? Yeah, but what does it mean when you wear neck beads? Of course. What does it mean? What is it supposed to mean? It means you have a guru. You've accepted a guru. So the Prabhupada, now we everyone thinks of Prabhupada as Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated, practically descending from the spiritual world. But what inspired me more was that he was wearing neck beads. Why? Why was that inspiring? Not that he was setting an example. What inspired me was that if he had a guru and he was so wonderful, then we also could realize Krishna by accepting him as guru, following the chain of disciplic succession. So we also must become wonderful and understand Krishna and realize Krishna. Otherwise we're just going to be one group saying one thing and another group saying another thing, and some persons will say that if you have this kind of a guardian angel, then you'll be happy. And another person will say if you sonic sounds, some guy at the conscious living will make sounds. Another person will say this. Another person will say that. But what will convince people is if the devotees realize Krishna. That's my conviction. And what's the difficulty about doing that? Prabhupada used to say, what is the difficulty? There is no difficulty. But I won't say that. From his point of view, there's no difficulty. What is the difficulty? I guess everyone has their own difficulties, and generally they don't want to reveal them in public. But one way to look at the difficulty, the one generic, general difficulty, is insincerity. So we have so many other desires. And we can do so many things and still have so many other desires, but the one thing we can't do is be with Krishna and have so many other desires. Anya vilasita sanyam jnana kamana vidana kolena krishnana shivanam bhakti uttama. Anya vilasita, all the desires. Sunyam. Prabhupada was so strong. So strong. Therefore, when we preach, we can't be as strong as that because our realization isn't as deep, so it won't have, will appear fanatical very often. Or we can repeat what Prabhupada said if we have strength like that. But that's why he also stressed book distribution so much. Very, it's sort of simple. Just give someone a book, and if they read it, they'll hear the truth so strongly, in a radical, strong way, with such depth and conviction. Touch them. They can touch them. In any case, now we hear something more about the descendants of the monkeys. Text 31. And possibly, although I kind of doubt it, we may get to the end of the chapter about the forest of enjoyment. What is it like in the forest of enjoyment? There are so many creatures in the forest of enjoyment, and one of the prominent creatures is a monkey. In this way, the descendants of the monkeys intermingle with each other, and they are generally known as sudras. Without hesitating, they live and move freely, not knowing the goal of life. They are captivated simply by seeing the faces of one another, which remind them of sense gratification. They are always engaged in material activities known as gramya karma, and they work hard for material benefit, but they forget completely that one day their small lifespan will be finished and they will be degraded in the evolutionary cycle. Prabhupada's purport. Materialistic people are sometimes called sudras, or descendants of monkeys, due to their monkey-like intelligence. They do not care to know how the evolutionary process is taking place, nor are they eager to know what will happen after they finish their small human lifespan. This is the attitude of sudras. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, this Krishna consciousness movement, is trying to elevate sudras to the Brahmana platform, so that they will know the real goal of life. Unfortunately, being overly attached to sense gratification, materialists are not serious in helping this movement. Instead, some of them try to suppress it. Thus, it is the business of monkeys to disturb the activities of Brahmins. This one sees in Vrindavan. The monkeys, they disturb the activities of the Brahmins, they disturb the activities of everyone, actually. That's their business, monkey business, just disturbing. The descendants of monkeys completely forget that they have to die, and they are very proud of scientific knowledge and the progress of material civilization. The word gramya kamana indicates activities meant only for the improvement of bodily comforts. Presently, all human society is engaged in improving economic conditions and bodily comforts. People are not interested in knowing what is going to happen after death, nor do they believe in transmigration of the soul. When one scientifically studies the evolutionary theory, one can understand that human life is a junction where one may take the path of promotion or degradation. A little further down. In this life, we have to prepare ourselves for promotion to the next life. Those are in the mode of Rajagun. What does Rajagun mean? Are generally interested in becoming promoted to the heavenly planets. Some unknowingly are degraded to lower animal forms. Those in the mode of goodness can engage in devotional service. So this is one thing that hurts our engagement in devotional service is the lack of the mode of goodness, sattva-gun. We become filled with so many other desires, or ignorant, mad, lazy, qualities of ignorance. So goodness is liberating. It brings knowledge. With goodness we are detached. So with those in the mode of goodness can engage in devotional service. And after that they can return home back to Godhead. Yanti mam yajino pimam. That is the real purpose of human life. This Krishna consciousness movement is trying to bring intelligent human beings to the platform of devotional service. Instead of wasting time to attain a better position in material life, one should simply endeavor to return home back to Godhead. Then all problems will be solved. In the material world, all problems can never be solved. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantasto Yabhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. See, Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. One simply has to follow the regulative principles. Act like a Brahmana, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, one purifies himself of the baser material modes, tamagun and rajagun. What is tamagun? Ignorance. And rajagun? And becoming free from the greed of these modes, one can attain complete peace of mind. In this way, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and one's relationship with Him, and thus be promoted to the highest perfection, Siddham Paramam Gata. Text 32. Just more monkey talk. Just as a monkey jumps from one tree to another. Have you ever seen a monkey jump from one tree to another? Yes, where? In South Africa. Have you ever seen? The monkeys were small? Did you say?
No, I was
very in Switzerland they don't have monkeys.
On television.
On television. Anyway, when you go to Vrindavan, you shall see monkeys jumping from tree to tree. And roof to roof. Just as a monkey jumps from one tree to another, the conditioned soul jumps from one body to another. As the monkey is ultimately captured by the hunter and is unable to get out of captivity, the conditioned soul, being captivated by momentary sex pleasure, becomes attached to different types of bodies and is encaged in family life. Family life affords the conditioned soul a festival of momentary sex pleasure. And thus he is completely unable to get out of the material clutches. These are the bars of material life. And these bars are so amazingly powerful that no one wants to get out of the cage. Text 33. In this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. Prabhupada's purport. Everyone is afraid of death. And however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease and old age, one must certainly accept death's notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave. And death is compared to a great elephant. So what happens? If one walks into a dark mountain cave, and in that cave is a maddened elephant, get crushed, get killed. So if we walk into that, we'll be terrified. And that's what happens. Because the elephant is so powerful and we are so weak, especially in the weakened condition of old age and disease. So easily we'll be crushed. We're so fragile. So what will we do about that? If we have attachment to the material body, we will suffer so greatly at those times. If we have attachment to anything in the realm of matter, we will suffer so greatly. So therefore this preaching, hard as it is, harsh as the words are important. So at least with our intelligence we know what is right and what is wrong. If we become befooled and befuddled by intelligence, then what hope do we have? If the mind overpowers the intelligence, what's wrong with these things? I like it. Text 34. The conditioned soul suffers many miserable body conditions, such as being affected by severe cold and strong winds. He also suffers due to the activities of other living entities and due to natural disturbances. When he's unable to counteract them and has to remain in a miserable condition, he naturally becomes very morose because he wants to enjoy material facilities. Sometimes conditioned souls exchange money, but in due course of time, enmity arises because of cheating. Because when money passes through one's hands, there is always a tendency for some to get stuck to the fingers. A tendency is there, and then great enmity arises. Although there may be a tiny profit, the conditioned souls cease to be friends and becomes enemies. Prabhupada gives some advice to the devotees in this purport. We'll read it, text, the purport to 35. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.58, Pumsastriya matuni bhava metan tayor mito ridya granti mahu ato griha chetra sutapta vitar janasya mohoyam aham ameti. The monkey-like conditioned soul first becomes attached to sex. And when intercourse actually takes place, he becomes more attached. He then requires some material comforts, apartment, house, food, friends, wealth, and so on. In order to acquire these things, he has to cheat others. And this creates enmity even amongst the most intimate friends. Sometimes this enmity is created between the conditioned soul and the father or spiritual master. Unless one is firmly fixed in the regulative principles, one may perform mischievous acts, even if one is a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. We therefore advise our disciples to strictly follow the regulative principles. Otherwise, the most important movement for the upliftment of humanity will be hampered due to dissension amongst its members. So there's a hint in there as to what Prabhupada is saying the cause of dissension in the Krishna consciousness movement is. And the hint is that he's saying it's due to not following the regulative principles. Those who are serious about pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement should remember this and strictly follow the regulative principles so that their minds will not be disturbed. If our minds are peaceful, then there won't be dissension. And if we follow the principles strictly, even by mind, then the mind will be peaceful. Very heavy instructions. Text 36. Sometimes, having no money, the conditioned soul does not get sufficient accommodations. Sometimes he doesn't even have a place to sit, nor does he have the other necessities. In other words, he falls into scarcity. And at that time, when he is unable to secure the necessities by fair means, he decides to seize the property of others unfairly. When he cannot get the things he wants, he simply receives insults from others and thus becomes very morose. When one commits improper, sinful, thieving activities, gradually by the laws of nature one is caught, insulted, punished. So this is Krishna's working, Krishna's own punishment through the laws of nature. This is what Prabhupada explains in the purport. So the result of all the not having sufficient things is one breaks the law, and the result of breaking the law is that either today or tomorrow, this life or the next, one is punished and insulted, and people look down upon him and condemn him, and this is very painful to a person. 37. Although people may be enemies, in order to fulfill their desires again and again, they sometimes get married. In fact, sometimes, I read about this man, he married some woman, then they got divorced. Then he married another woman, and they got divorced. And then he married another one, and they got divorced. And then they married another one, and they got divorced. And then he remarried his first one. And I don't know how long that lasted, but so these marriages do not last very long, and the people involved are separated again by divorce or other means. Purport. As stated previously, every conditioned soul has the propensity to cheat, even in marriage. Everywhere in this material world, one conditioned soul is envious of another. For the time being, people may remain friends, but eventually they become enemies again and fight over money. Sometimes they marry and then separate by divorce or other means. On the whole, unity is never permanent. Unity is never permanent in the material world because everyone is too selfish. So as long as it's convenient for people to be unified, then they'll stay unified as long as it serves their selfish purposes. But as soon as those selfish purposes are not served, the unity finished. Due to the cheating propensity, both parties always remain envious. Even in Krishna consciousness, separation and enmity take place due to the prominence of material propensities. So not exactly even in Krishna consciousness, because if one is actually in Krishna consciousness, if one is actually Krishna conscious, then there's no material propensities, what to speak of, a prominence of material propensities. But even in those who are attempting to be Krishna consciousness, separation and enmity take place due to the prominence of material propensities. So the solution is to minimize material propensities and maximize our spiritual propensities. Maximize our spiritual realization. So how can we increase our realization of Krishna? That is the question. That is actually the best way to minimize our material propensities. So we should be thinking, how can I advance? How can I become a real devotee? How can I become in Krishna consciousness? The path of this material world is full of material miseries, and various troubles disturb the conditioned souls. Sometimes he loses, sometimes he gains. In either case, the path is full of danger. Sometimes the conditioned soul is separated from his father by death or other circumstances. Leaving him aside, he gradually becomes attached to others, such as his children. In this way, the conditioned soul is sometimes illusioned and afraid. Sometimes it cries loudly out of fear. Sometimes he's happy maintaining his family. Sometimes he's overjoyed and sings melodiously. In this way he becomes entangled and forgets his separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead since time immemorial. Thus he traverses the dangerous path of material existence, and on this path he is not at all happy. Those who are self-realized simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get out of this dangerous material existence. Without accepting the devotional path, one cannot get out of the clutches of material existence. No matter what path one follows, one needs some devotion, wants some devotion, at least some devotion, whether he's practicing karma, jnana, yoga, or anything, needs some devotion to God to get out. Then by God's grace, his path will be successful. The conclusion is that no one can be happy in material life. One must take to Krishna consciousness. That's the conclusion of this heavy chapter, The Forest of Enjoyment, Prabhupada's purport. By thoroughly examining, analyzing the materialistic way of life, any sane man can understand there is not the least happiness in this world. However, due to continuing on the path of danger from time immemorial and not associating with saintly persons, the conditioned soul, under illusion, wants to enjoy this material world. Material energy sometimes gives him a chance at so-called happiness. But the conditioned soul is perpetually being punished by material nature. It is therefore said, Dandya jane raja yena nadite chubhaya. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness. So who, when you go to the Conscious Living Festival, who's going to ruin the whole festival if you start preaching like this? Material life, a big banner. Material life means continuous unhappiness. You want to buy some health food? You want to buy this? You want to buy that? No. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness. But sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned person is submerged in water and hauled out. Actually, all this is meant for punishment, but he feels a little comfort when he's taken out of the water. That is the situation with the conditioned soul. All the Shastras therefore advise, and here is the solution that comes, that Prabhupada is offering, and the next verse will say the same thing. All the Shastras therefore advise that one associate with devotees and saintly people. Sarusanga, sarusanga, shastra kai, lavamatra, sarusangi, sarvasiddhihai. Even by a little association with devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. In what way is the Krishna consciousness movement giving everyone a chance to associate with saintly people?
All the saintly persons in the boat, huh? Get a chance to
associate with them and read the book. Yeah, it's true. I wasn't thinking that one. But yeah. And in the same way, get the chance to associate with Prabhupada by reading the Bhagavatam. Is there any other thing that the Krishna Consciousness Movement is supposed to provide as a facility in association with saintly people? Saintly, the temple isn't a person. Yeah, in other words, there's supposed to be saintly people in the Hare Krishna movement. Yeah. And who are those saintly people supposed to be? Somebody else. Point to somebody else. Because everyone would like to be a saintly person, but it's you have to give up so much, you have to dedicate so much. Actually, the more the better. There should be lots and lots and lots of saintly people. There can never be too many saintly people in a temple. So this is everyone's responsibility to become a saintly people. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. Aha, here Prabhupada is in the next line, points the finger. Therefore, all the members of the Krishna consciousness society must themselves be perfect sadhus. All the members, no pointing at anyone else, all the members must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. That is the best humanitarian work. So this is how to escape material life, becoming a saintly person, a sadhu. Saintly persons who are friends to all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. They have controlled their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. So that's what it takes to be a saintly person. Peaceful consciousness. And how does one have peaceful consciousness? You can be a friend to all living entities when you're peaceful and non-envious. And how to be peaceful consciousness? Control senses and minds. Not easy when one is brought up in Kali Yuga. Not easy, at least from my experience. But this is the path. If we think that we can have uncontrolled senses and wild minds and yet be friendly to all living entities and yet peaceful, it doesn't work. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable conditions, miserable material conditions, materialistic person cannot associate with them, the saintly people. Purport. The great saint Jadabharat described both the miserable condition and the means to get out. The only way out of it is association with devotees. And this association is very easy. Although unfortunate people also get this opportunity, due to their great misfortune, they cannot take shelter of pure devotees, and consequently they continuously suffer. Nonetheless, this Krishna consciousness movement insists that everyone take to this path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The preachers of Krishna consciousness go from door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable conditions of material life. Have you ever gone door to door in your book distribution? No. Yeah, where?
In
yeah, how was it?
Maybe 1 in 20 people.
Open the door?
They open the door, but 1 in 20 take the book.
But how many in 20 open the door?
Maybe every 5th or 6th house opens the door, the rest on the
home. How many people, out of the people that are home, how many people, what percentage open the door? And then, and if you say, you know, we're members of the Hare Krishna movement, at least they hear Hare Krishna. Anyway, it's too late. They've heard Hare Krishna. And then 1 out of 20 take a book. How nice. You two went together and did that?
We used to do it. Just a few streets all the time.
Yeah. Has that ever been done extensively in Perth, door to door? Soon we'll be doing it hospital to hospital. That's where all the devotees are. ward toward Sankirtan. In the palliative care ward when in Geelong Hospital, when Govinda Dasi was near the end, maybe a month and a half before she left, she took around, she went ward to ward, bed to bed, and taking around prasadam to everyone. The preachers of Krishna consciousness go from door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable conditions of material life. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Laitavij. By the mercy of Krishna and Guru, one gets the seed of devotional service. If one is a little intelligent, he can cultivate Krishna consciousness and be freed from the miserable conditions of material life. 40. There were many great saintly kings who were very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus they simply created enmity with rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real mission. And what is life's real mission? Srila Prabhupada states it at the end of the purport. The real purpose of life is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ata Pumbhya Dilase Stas Manashrama Vibhagasa Svanusti Tasya Dhammasya Samsidhya Haritoshanam. It really doesn't matter what activity a man engages in, if he can simply satisfy the Supreme Lord, his life is successful. So that is the purpose of life. Somehow or another, satisfy Krishna. So if we think in that way, how can I satisfy Krishna? And then we have some chance. If that becomes the mode of our discrimination, how can I satisfy Krishna? Then it is more likely we'll be able to. 41. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activities, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions. But unfortunately, he cannot remain there. After reaping the results of his pious activities, he has to return to the lower planetary systems. In this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. So, up and down in the material world. So the way out of this, Prabhupada explains in his purport, is to take shelter of a spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasari Bhai Bhakti Latabhi. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. This is essential, Prabhupada said. One must come to Krishna consciousness and therefore one must take shelter of a pure devotee. Thus one can become free from the clutches of matter. Text 42. So these were the teachings of Jad Bharat that Maharaj Prakrit summarized to, that Sukadev Goswami summarized to Maharaj Prakrit. Text 42. Having summarized the teachings of Jadabharat, Sukadev Goswami said, "My dear King Prakrit, the path indicated by Jadabharat is like the path followed by Garuda." Who is Garuda? Do you know?
Vishnu's
character. Yes. What form?
His bird.
Yes. So the path indicated by Jadabharata is like the path followed by Garuda, the most powerful of wing carriers, the carrier of the Lord. And ordinary kings are just like flies. Flies cannot follow the path of Garuda. And to date, none of the great kings and victorious leaders could follow this path of devotional service, not even mentally. Prabhupada says in his purport, "The path of devotional service is undoubtedly very difficult to follow. But it becomes very easy if the candidate actually wants to follow the path of the Mahajan. In this age, there is the path of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared to deliver all fallen souls. This path is so simple and easy that everyone can take to it by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama. Eva Kebalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiyanayata. We are very satisfied that this path is being opened by this Krishna consciousness movement, because so many European and American boys and girls are taking this philosophy seriously and gradually attaining perfection. 43. While in the prime of life, the great Maharaj Bharata gave up everything because he was fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Sloka. He gave up his beautiful wife, nice children, great friends, and enormous empire. Although these things were very difficult to give up, Maharaj Bharata was so exalted that he gave them up just as one gives up stool after evacuating. Such was the greatness of his majesty. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that he was so detached, he gave up everything, the kingdom, everything. We've heard about this. He gave up everything to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. But he nevertheless had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. And then, as Jada Bharat, he was very careful not to spoil his energy, and therefore he presented himself as deaf and dumb, a deaf and dumb person. In this way, he could concentrate on his devotional service. We have to learn from the great King Bharat how to become cautious in cultivating Krishna consciousness. A little inattention will retard our devotional service for the time being. Yet any service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never lost. Saupamapyasyadamasya trayate mahatobayat. A little devotional service rendered sincerely is a permanent asset. Prabhupada says at the end of the purport that he spread the glories. We are spreading the glories of Krishna by pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. Now it's a fact that 30 years ago, it's 1970, 35 years ago especially, how many people in the whole world outside of India, how many people outside of India even heard of Krishna's name? And now, the majority of people have heard about Krishna. So the glories of Krishna have been spread so much by Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness, really by Prabhupada's inspiration. Really, no one ever heard of Krishna, practically speaking, before. No one had ever seen a picture of Krishna. So Prabhupada says, we are spreading the glories of Krishna by pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna's reputation, 5,000 years after the Battle of Kurukshetra, is still expanding throughout the world. Every important individual within this world must have heard of Krishna, especially at the present moment, due to the Krishna consciousness movement. Even people who do not like us and want to suppress the movement are also somehow or another chanting Hare Krishna. They say the Hare Krishna people should be chastised. Such foolish people do not realize the true value of this movement, but the mere fact that they want to criticize it gives them a chance to chant Hare Krishna, and this is its success. Text 44. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, the activities of Bharat Maharaj are wonderful. He gave up everything difficult for others to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife, and his family. His opulence was so great that even the demigods envied it. Yet he gave it up. It was quite befitting a great personality like him to be a great devotee. He could renounce everything because what gave him the ability to renounce everything? He could renounce everything because He was so attracted to the beauty, opulence, reputation, knowledge, strength, and renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that one can give up all desirable things for His sake. Indeed, even liberation is considered insignificant for those whose minds are attracted to the loving service of the Lord. So therefore, it is of prime importance, more important than becoming renounced and detached, is to become attracted to Krishna. Because if one is attracted to Krishna, one will automatically become renounced. It will give strength to all detachment from matter. So then, for Krishna's sake, that one sentence is so important. Krishna is so attractive that one can give up all desirable things for His sake. So a devotee is one whose mind is attracted to only pleasing Krishna. And although he may have attractions to other things, that desire to love and please Krishna is burning so brightly in his heart, his consciousness, that the other things are insignificant. 45. Even though in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharat did not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he was giving up the body of the deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. So the deer somehow could utter this prayer. And this was the prayer that he uttered this when he was leaving his body. This is what he uttered. This was his consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sacrifice personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activity. He is the protector of religious systems, the personification of mystic yoga, the source of all knowledge, the controller of the entire creation, and the supersoul in every living entity. He is beautiful and attractive. I am quitting this body, offering obeisances unto Him, and hoping that I may perpetually engage in His transcendental loving service. Uttering this, Maharaj Bharat left his body. So he possessed this mentality while dying, and therefore he took his next birth as a great devotee. And then the final verse in this chapter, and we'll read the purport too, which summarizes the points of the chapter. Devotees interested in hearing and chanting Shravanam Kirtanam regularly discuss the pure characteristics of Bharat Maharaj and praise his activities. If one submissively hears and chants about the all-auspicious Maharaj Bharat, one's lifespan and material opulence is certainly increased. One can become very famous and easily attain promotion to the heavenly planets, or attain liberation by merging into the existence of the Lord, just by hearing about Maharaj Bharat. Whatever one desires can be attained simply by hearing, chanting, and glorifying the activities of Maharaj Bharat. So what is the use, what is the need, what is the purpose of performing any ritualistic activity, any other renunciation, any other meditation? Just hear and chant about Maharaj Bharat, and everything will occur auspiciously. Material things, everything. In this way, one can fulfill all his material and spiritual desires. One does not have to ask anyone else for these things, for simply by studying the life of Maharaj Bharat, one can attain all desirable things. Purport. Prabhupada's purport. This is the last purport in the chapter. And this Bharat Maharaj chapter started in chapter 7. So it's been going from chapter 8 to 14. Here's the last purport. The forest of material existence is summarized in this 14th chapter. The word bhavatavi refers to the path of material existence. The merchant is the living entity who comes to the forest of material existence to try to make money for sense gratification. the six plunderers of the senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch, and mind. The bad leader is diverted intelligence. Intelligence is meant for Krishna consciousness. But due to material existence, we divert all our intelligence to achieve material facilities. Everything belongs to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But due to our perverted mind and senses, we plunder the property of the Lord and engage it in satisfying our senses. The jackals and tigers in the forest are our family members, and the herbs and creepers are our material desires. The mountain cave is our happy home, and the mosquitoes and serpents are our enemies. The rats, beasts, and vultures are different types of thieves who take away our possessions. And the Gandharva Pura is the phantasmagoria of the body and home. The will-o'-the-wisp is our attraction for gold and its color. And material residence and wealth are the ingredients for our material enjoyment. The whirlwind is our attraction for our wife. And the dust storm is our blinding passion experienced during sex. The demigods control the different directions, and the cricket is the harsh words spoken by our enemies during our absence. The owl is the person who directly insults us, and the impious trees are impious men. The waterless river represents atheists who give us trouble in this world and the next. The meat-eating demons are the government officials, and the pricking thorns are the impediments of material life. The little taste experienced in sex is our desire to enjoy another's wife, and the flies are the guardians of women, like the husband, father-in-law, mother-in-law, and so forth. The creeper itself is women in general. The lion is the wheel of time, and the herons, crows, and vultures are also called demigods, pseudo-swamis, yogis, and incarnations. All of these are too insignificant to give one relief. The swans are the perfect brahmanas, and the monkeys are the extravagant sudras engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The trees of the monkeys are our households, and the elephant is ultimate death. Thus, all the constituents of material existence are described in this chapter. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Material World as the Great Forest of Enjoyment. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jad Bharat ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we will begin and complete chapter 15, The Glories of the Descendants of King Priyavrata.